Where'd you get those shoes? Easy. They're from DSW. Because DSW has the exact right shoes for whatever you're into right now. You know, like the sneakers that make office hours feel like happy hour. The boots that turn grocery aisles into runways. And all the styles that show off the many sides of you, from daydreamer to multitasker and everything in between. Because you do it all in really great shoes. Find a shoe for every you at your DSW store or DSW.com.
Hey, football fans, are you obsessed with the game?
Oh, yeah.
Do you find yourself looking for breakdowns from every angle? For those who can't get enough, subscribe to Brian Baldinger's podcast, The Best Football Show, where he discusses the top teams and players from around the league each week.
That's what I watched this week, a dominant performance.
New episodes drop every weekday, including Trench Talk Tuesdays with former NFL lineman Mark Schlereth. Make sure to subscribe to The Best Football Show on the Odyssey app or wherever you find your podcasts.
Mike Tomlin's the topic. Jerry Dulac reporting that Tomlin will be back, that the Steelers plan to have Tomlin back. Plans can change. We know that. There's so many different ways to quantify this. The Steelers are tied with the Dolphins for the longest playoff losing streak active right now, at six games. They've won half as many playoff games as the Houston Texans over the past 14 years, Bob. Steelers have won three playoff games in 14 years. Three playoff games in 14 years.
And the quarterbacks in those games were not elite quarterbacks.
A.J. McCarron, Matt Moore, and I think Alex Smith. He was pretty good at the time. The last time they've beaten a truly elite quarterback in a playoff game, who? Do you put Flacco in that category? Flacco? Or was it before that? It's almost you can't remember it. I remember Ed Bouchette coming on this show, I don't know, about 5 years ago, and I put out the Houston Texans stat then. And Ed scolded me, Bob. He reprimanded me on live radio and said, "You're comparing the Houston Texans to the Pittsburgh Steelers?" And I said, "No, Ed, I would never want to insult the Texans that way. They have twice as many." But my other point to Ed at that time, he I think he actually phrased it, "Would you rather be the Texans or the Steelers?" And I said, "The Texans." This was at the time, and now it's coming back to me now, that Deshaun Watson was getting out of town. Because they had sunk to the bottom of the league again and were going to get their quarterback. And now they have their quarterback. And now they win playoff games. They play at home in the playoffs. They had a down regular season. Who gives a crap? He was really good the other day, and they're pretty good. They gave the Chiefs a run for their money 3 or 4 weeks ago, one score game. Houston got their guy. The Steelers don't have theirs. They're reeling. They're desperate. Alex Kozora of Steelers Depot put out a stat. I don't know if you saw this one, Bob, that the Steelers have lost five straight games without ever having a lead. They haven't led in five games. He said it's only three times in Steelers history, Alex said, which began in 1933. I was there. Where Pittsburgh has gone five straight games without ever having a single lead. 1938, they were 2-9. 1969, I don't have the record offhand. I'm guessing they were pretty bad.
Yeah, it was bad.
And this year.
Right. That's not...
I don't know. I'm exasperated by this. I don't want to feed into some like crazy frenzy here. To me, this is just the rational take right now. And here's the thing. Art is Mr. Rational. He's a very rational guy. But in this case, bringing back Tomlin is the irrational move. It's gone from being, yes, I am Mr. Rational. And in the name of Steelers' historic stability, we'll keep going with Mike. That has now become an irrational thought, which is one of the other ironies to this whole thing, is Mr. Rational is being irrational. And I've mentioned many times the ironies to the non-losing streak that the Steelers seem to be so proud of, is that Tomlin does have a losing season. It's called the postseason, where he's now 8-11. 8-11.
And in the last eight.
0 for 6, but 0 for 8 in 8 years.
Right.
In 12 of the last 14 years, they have zero playoff wins. And again, I'm going to stop saying that. And I'm going to stop saying they haven't won a playoff game in 8 years, because that's not accurate. They haven't been competitive in a playoff game in 8 years. Not competitive. And all the best the Steelers can do at this point in their existence is get in as a double-digit underdog, as a group of five team in the college football playoff, and get immediately dispatched, disregarded, and blown out. And somehow that comes off to people, I guess Art is one of them, as being okay. So he's going to get in front of the media one of these days, probably this week or next, and say, this time. We have Brian Kelly pounding his fist. This time I've had enough. Now, last year, I love that clip. So Art's going to get in front of the media again, and he's going to say what he said last year, which is, I think everybody, he said, there's an urgency to win playoff games. There's an urgency. I think everybody, myself, Mike, guys that have been on the team for a while, everybody, we've had enough of this, Rooney said. It's time to get some playoff wins. And I'm adding the word playoff. He said wins, he meant playoff. It's time to take these next steps. Or what, Art, is what I would say. Because they didn't. Not only did they not, but this might have been the worst playoff loss of all, because it was your arch rival. You were non-competitive. It looked to the entire country like you quit on them. Najee said after the game that the team is fractured, in so many words. It was the worst, Bob, I think.
But right after that, after those words, which I was surprised there was an extension. That's what I go back to last year. I thought the easy way to play this was just let the contract go. You want to have 1 year left, call them whatever you want, lame duck, not. It is what it is. You have 1 year to decide on what happens. And if the results change based on the urgency, then you sign them now.
Yes, that's what I've been saying, is don't extend him.
They didn't do that. They extended him, and that's why I think they're in the situation they're in.
Not only extended him, they gave him a raise.
Everyone in sports gets raises today, regardless of your performance.
Well, they also gave him one extra year than they normally do. Rewarded for what? I mean, for what?
Well, the ultimate thing is wins, is how you succeed or don't succeed in the postseason.
Yes.
And if they are true to the standard, meets the standard line, then that's the standard. If it's not, it's below standard, and it's been below standard. So that has to change. And I think now, if there was urgency last year, what would you classify this as this year?
That's why I'm where I am. And I'm finally saying out loud that they need to move on from Mike Tomlin. They need to. There's nowhere else to turn. There's no changes to make. The GM has changed. The quarterbacks have changed. The roster has changed. The coordinators have changed. The coaches have changed. The offensive line has changed. There's nowhere else to turn. It's all pointing at one guy. And it couldn't be more obvious to really, I think, any rational observer. It couldn't be more obvious. Are there other people to blame for what the Steelers find themselves in, which is an 8-year streak where they haven't even been competitive in a single playoff game and have missed the playoffs almost 40% of the time in those 8 years? I think that gets overlooked. 3 out of 8 is almost 40%. Even Ron could figure that out, Bob. And he was pretty good at math. The Stars themselves haven't performed on defense. They've been invisible in the playoffs. Omar Khan failed to fortify two areas of great need that we all knew going into the season. Depth in the secondary, depth at receiver. He failed. You know, he just flat out failed. Guys that Omar has put significant money into, I would say, Ogunjobi, Deontay, Alex Highsmith, Patrick Queen, Pat Freiermuth. Any one of those players a needle mover for you, Bob? They're not for me.
Not at the money. I thought Patrick Queen had a good middle part of the year, but not as good as the end of the year. So, yeah, I mean, those are all guys who he had big expectations for based on the money you gave, and it's not worked out.
He's had some other good moves, for sure. Deshaun Elliott was good. Other guys he's put money into, great. The drafts, the arrow kind of goes up and down on those. I'm not so sure about the opening of Broderick Jones and Joey Porter, which Omar was lauded for. That suddenly doesn't look so great because both those guys took a step back, and that was pretty big. That was a pretty big moment for the franchise to basically have two first-round picks. Did he go 0 for 2? Too early to say, but man, the arrow's trending back in that direction because you need high-impact players, not just players.
One of them is Minkah Fitzpatrick, and he wasn't that way. So what do you think the reason for that is? Because there have been a lot of debate about what's happened to Minkah Fitzpatrick. Is he just a step slower, or did they put him in the wrong position to take advantage of whatever skills that he has, which I think are significant?
They could put Minkah at offensive guard, and he needs to be better than he's been. I'm tired of the excuses for Minkah. He got swatted around like a fly the other day. He's done nothing in any playoff game, and he never creates a turnover, almost never.
But is that by design, their design?
It can't be. I don't care how they're deploying him. That's inexcusable.
Well, he's less effective if you just keep him back there as the last line of defense.
Ed Reed was a center fielder. He seemed to make a lot of turnovers. Okay. I thought Minkah was a Hall of Famer. Again,
his skill set would tell me that he needs to be more active in various ways.
Did you see him get swatted the other night?
Yeah, it was a stiff arm right to the face, yes. He's been chasing a lot of people. I think he's a step slower.
I do.
So...
And I don't know about his future. We can talk about the players' futures coming up, but I know Omar has identified those guys. Ogunjobi, underachiever. Deontay, got rid of him. And I'm not so sure the guy he brought in is any good either. Had a nice year as far as interceptions goes, but by the end of the year, he was getting smoked in coverage. Alex Highsmith, 13 sacks in his last 28 games. Where was he the other night? He's not a needle mover. Patrick Queen, nope. And Pat Freiermuth, you know, I guess they paid him like an average tight end, which is what he is, but he is not a needle mover. I'm sorry. He dropped the first pass of the game.
He's not schemed to be that either. I think it still falls on the coaching staff to how these guys are not in position to make plays. You have to scheme guys open, too. If you don't scheme them open, then what good is it?
I mean, he dropped the last pass of one game and the first pass of this game.
He fumbled the one game. I get all
that. He fumbled the one game. He also had a first down the other night.
Yeah,
where he needed 1 yard and a guy half his size cut him down like an oak tree. I'm sorry, but you didn't need to pay Freiermuth. Not a good draft pick either. Pretty good player. Don't get me wrong. He's a pretty good player. But you can find a lot of those at that position. And they had other needs. That was a luxury pick. That was the Steelers' arrogance, that draft, in retrospect. Taking a running back in the first round and a tight end in the second. They missed out on a Hall of Fame center when they needed a Hall of Fame center. They were drafting luxuries. Luxuries. You saw the kid for Tampa Bay last night, Bucky Irvin, fourth-round pick. He's 10 times better than Najee Harris, who averages 2.7 yards in his playoff career. 2.7.
Yeah, I think that was the wrong pick at the wrong time. I think we thought so just because of the way running backs are available. You didn't need to do it there, and they did. And he's had an okay 4 years, but you want more than okay from guys who are number one picks, for sure.
You want home run hitters, you want needle movers, and the Steelers, and I guess you include Tomlin in this too, but Omar and Mike have just failed in that respect. All right, let's get back to the line here with the story of the day, which is Mike Tomlin.
We're going to take your phone call first, Joe. Let's go to Dave, who's in Newcastle.
Hey, what's up? Thanks for taking my call. So, it's probably not a coincidence that the very first caller basically took the words right out of my mouth. I was on a forum, a Steelers forum, and there was a great post about how you guys in the media are going to play a big role in what happens next. And, Joe, I want to thank you for being direct up front. No doubt about it. City Limits, you too. Bob, you got to get on board, buddy. You got to be straight. You got to shoot it straight.
Listen, like I said at the beginning, I wouldn't have extended him last year. Does that tell you how I felt?
Absolutely. It's imperative that we.
I honestly don't think they're going to be swayed one way or the other in their beliefs. They've done what they've done for all these years, and they believe in their process.
I don't know about that. I don't know about that. I think if the heat's turned up, the media. The thing with Tomlin is he's always been the media sweetheart, the media darling, and nobody, to be honest with you, really, even in local media, hits them with. A lot of the hard who asked Tomlin tough questions for real. Think about it. Nobody ever asked Tomlin the tough questions over the years, and so that's where we are there now. The other thing that this does too is now that you look back on it, was it the right move to pull Justin Fields? because now you don't know. You have no idea. Obviously, we're moving on from Russell. I mean, I can't see.
You say obviously. I don't know if it's that obvious. I still have my doubts. I would prefer, like you, moving forward with Fields. I'm not looking at a 37-year-old to be as somebody who I want to build around, and it also kicks the can down the road on eventually trying to find your franchise quarterback.
I agree. I don't think he's passing the eye test right now. I think that as we've said, you know, many times, the difference with, you know, someone that's in their prime and as they age is not that you can't do great things sometimes, but it's the consistency. And there's too many times where you see Russell Wilson think he can get out of the pocket, thinks that he can make the play, thinks that he can get the first down, and he either gets caught or he sits back there too long and he's overestimating his own ability at this point. That's a sign of age. You know, and here's the thing. If Tomlin wants to hold on to his legacy here in Pittsburgh, I feel that he needs to be – I heard about this no-trade clause. It is – he needs – I feel like as long as the Steelers have been loyal to him, and it's from the beginning of his career to all of this time that they've given him, that he needs to be okay with a trade. If he wants to maintain his any type of goodwill – with Steelers Nation, because I would say it's almost close to 100, well, obviously not 100% of the fan base, but well over 90% of the fan base is now finally, I think, come to the realization that it's time to move on. And he is holding us hostage. He needs to be okay with a trade. We need to trade him. You trade him. I'm sorry, but TJ, he's not showing up and he's not getting the, it's tough, but he never shows up when it's time at the end of the season. He's not getting younger, and his style of play is not conducive to a long career. Obviously, you got to do something with George Pickens. With those pieces right there, you can literally turn this franchise around. The problem is, I don't know that this is a good year for quarterbacks in the draft, but you have enough to acquire draft picks or trades to do what you need to do. The answer is there. The problem is you have an owner who is, like I believe you guys said earlier, Joseph, that is afraid, that's living in his fears, that will not do what needs to be done. The ship is steering itself right into iceberg. Well, it's already hit the iceberg, and there's nobody there to actually do what needs to be done.
All right. Well, I appreciate your take on that. First of all, I don't think they're afraid. I think they just believe in what they believe. Right or wrong, that's what they're doing. And they believe he still can change this thing around. We'll see. But I think there has to be change, a lot of change. And to your point about all these players, and by the way, Joe had something that he needed to take care of, so he won't be back the rest of the day. So wishing him all the best and everything goes well, so just so you know. But I think in a situation like decisions with some of these players, you mentioned three of them right off the bat, Watt, the quarterback, and George Pickens. George Pickens has 1 year left. What do you do? You know, we brought this up last night. I don't know that they want to give the kind of money to a player who can be up and down in a mercurial way. He's a very talented kid, but there's a lot of diva in him that we've seen in other receivers. Are you willing to give $30 million a year, whatever it takes on that? And Austin, I don't know how you feel about that, but I wouldn't do it. I'd have the same approach that I said last year about Mike. I would just let it play out and see where it takes me. I'm not obligated to do anything. And if he has a good year, I then can franchise him if I so choose. But I don't have to just say, okay, it's time for a contract. We're going to give you this.
I would not give him a deal right now. No, not after what we just witnessed over the last 5 weeks. Middle of the season, I was trending in that direction. But I've never been too willing to give Pickens a deal just because of the attitude concerns that we see on the field. And the Steelers' track record and history of dealing with these wide receivers lends us to believe that George Pickens is likely going to get traded this offseason. Considering what they did with Chase Claypool, letting Juju walk, trading Deontay, AB, Martavis Bryant. I mean, we can go on and on and on about this.
Yeah.
So I would let it play out another year. I don't think there's anybody that you would franchise tag next season, because either you're going to sign TJ Watt this year going into next year, or you're probably going to bring him back. I can't imagine them franchise tagging TJ Watt. So your most logical franchise tag candidate looking down the road is likely going to be George Pickens. So I would just play it out,
exactly,
or look to trade him. I mean, if somebody blows me away with a first-round draft pick, I'd be fine with moving off of Pickens and drafting a wide receiver in the first round. Somebody who can also
or
get
signing
me off
someone in free agency.
I
mean,
I would
the
do
name
both.
T. Higgins, there are going to be other guys out there who can come in and make a difference if you're looking for a number one. If you don't believe George is, but I'll just let George be George one more year and see where it takes. And if he doesn't adjust to it, I thought Najee Harris handled his situation well this year. A lot of people didn't think he would. No fifth-year option.
He'll be back either. No, I don't think there's any chance.
But I'm saying he handled it well. How will George handle it?
I don't think very well, given the track record and the history of how he's handled everything else.
Then you know you don't bring him back after that. If there is a market for him, and there very well could be because he's a very talented guy, although you will be hurting your own situation again, you're going to have to – we saw a complete change in the quarterback room. How about a complete change in the wide receiver room if that happens?
Well, and I mean, going back to Deontay Johnson, they were right to move off of Deontay. Now, was the timing of it right? Probably not, because they could have used him to potentially trade for Ayuk or whoever else it might be. They were right to trade Deontay, dude, everything in the locker room and running backwards and whatever. But that was on Mike Tomlin and that was on the general manager, where they just did not acquire anybody. So you could still move off of George Pickens, but you need to have a contingency plan in place. And they thought they had a contingency plan with IU, maybe Devontae Adams pursuing that, but it just never came to fruition. And I'm not willing to shell out a bunch of money for George Pickens. They need to bring in a wide receiver regardless of what you do with George Pickens.
No, no question about it. I think it's the number one issue that they have on the team.
Number one issue, wide receiver?
Well, after quarterback. Quarterback's a separate entity.
Yeah.
But if I'm looking at positions, where else would you, place wide receiver? To me, it's the top of the list.
It's number two.
I take quarterback out of it because that's a whole different department. Quarterback play is, I got this strange feeling they're going to sign Russell Wilson.
I hope you're
and
right,
I don't
Bob.
Think that's the right move. I don't. And I respect what he's done. I just think at his age, I think it's better to move into a different direction there. And if it's Justin Fields, I think if you pride yourself on bringing the best out of players and, systems that can bring the best out of a player, I got to believe he still has up-end talent. I think his ceiling is higher.
Let me run this by you
do
then,
you?
Bob.
Would you keep him or would you sign Wilson?
Not at all. I would not keep Russell Wilson. This is what I would do. And I put this out on Twitter and it got a lot of play. I said the Steelers should let Russell Wilson walk and they should let Justin Fields be their starter in 2025. If Justin Fields does well, then you might have your answer. Might. It's still keeping the door open that you can move off of him. But if Fields struggles, you get a high draft pick, and you can draft a quarterback. I don't care about this 18 years in a row with a non-losing season. It's exactly what's gotten the Steelers to this point, in the middle with no sense of direction. What is their identity at this point? They can't really run the football. They can't throw the football. Their $130 million defense is getting gashed. Get out of the middle and do something. If you have to be terrible for a year, maybe you had to take two steps back to be able to take a couple giant steps forward. Yeah, and that's the only realistic path I see for this franchise.
Well, unless something happens with Justin Fields and all of a sudden he discovers that he is the number one pick they thought he was. And again, I'm not going to rule that out only because I think his talent level is high. I think he seems like a guy who's very coachable to me. This was sort of a reset season for him, and I think it may have helped him. So I have him here. I'm going to try to keep him here. That's just my view. I know a lot of people have different views on quarterbacks. But aside from the wide receiving, they need help everywhere. They need help at cornerback again, right?
At corners,
they do,
a disaster.
Because Dante Jackson likely won't be back.
He shouldn't be back.
Cam Sutton will not be back.
Oh, what a problem Cam Sutton was this year, huh? Who would have thought that he would end up being that bad? Like, he wasn't good in Detroit. Yeah, but you think in the defense that he's familiar with, Mike Tomlin loves him.
But I also think it stunted Beanie Bishop a little bit. I thought Beanie Bishop was playing pretty good football.
They had to put Beanie Bishop on the side of a milk carton. We hadn't seen him over the last couple of weeks.
But again, I think that's more choosing Cam Sutton over him. And
who's on that? Whose fault is that?
Well, that's Mike Tomlin's fault. Everything still goes to the top. It always does with all these decisions. And I think, generally speaking, that game was another indication of this whole idea that you got to play mistake-free football. When you play mistake-free football or ask your team to play mistake-free football, you normally make mistakes or you become a shell of what you can be because you're not willing to do things that are risky moves. You have to be willing to throw it down the field early in games as opposed to what we've seen. And when it's not working in the run game, you got to do something different. So I'm not surprised how that game went.
No, I'm not either.
I thought Baltimore would win rather easily, and they did. Because I hadn't seen anything to make me think it was going to change.
No, I had 31-14, so I'm glad they at least did not score another field goal and make it a three-score game. But silver linings on how large the loss was, that's the rock bottom we've currently hit.
All right, welcome back. As we continue here today, I want to remind you the Fan Twitter site is brought to you by South Hills Kia in Peters Township. Visit them at southhillskia.net. Also, the Fan Text Line is brought to you by Edgar Snyder & Associates, a personal injury law firm, where they always say there's never a fee unless we get money for you. And the hotline, which has been hot today, is presented by Sullivan Super Service, Pittsburgh Trusted Plumbing, HVAC provider for over 50 years. And we are approaching the 50-minute mark. So, Austin, I may as well get that out there, too. The 50-minute mark is brought to you by South Hills Chrysler, Dodge, Jeep, Ram, Route 19 in Peters Township. 412-928-9370. I know the lines are hopping, so let's jump back on them.
Let's go who's to next? Vincent, who's in Columbus.
Hello, Vincent. What's up?
Hey, man. I told Austin, we always talk about how Mike Tomlin does more with less, but I feel like he does less with more. I mean, you have three All-Pros on your defense, and it's the same story every year defensively, and I just feel like that's where it starts even more with the offense, because people always say there's no talent on the offense, but there's talent on the defense, and it's the same thing every year.
Yeah, I think that's I understand that statement, and I would agree with it. I think the national narrative sometimes gets off, look at the Steelers. They don't have as much talent, therefore here they are knocking on mm-hmm. a playoff, all that stuff. But yeah, when you have that sort of money invested in your defense, you do expect more. And for whatever reason, it hasn't produced itself in big games. And this last one, if I would have told you the 300 rushing yards for Baltimore, knowing that the Steelers knew that their whole game plan is to run the ball. They do it every week. They're not surprising in anything they do. They run the football, whether it's Lamar Jackson, whether it's Derrick Henry. And they plan to do it all week long. And I think if you saw what they did, they were trained to go after the ball carrier on the RPOs, and every single time Lamar Jackson kept it seemed, right? So whatever they did, they were doing the wrong thing, and it showed with 300 total yards of rushing offense.
I'm surprised, Bob, that TJ did not just at some point, whether it was, you know, the whole saying, fool me once, shame on me, fool me twice, whatever, that when it came to about the third or fourth time, he just did not automatically go to Lamar. I mean, they've done so well at shutting down Lamar, and I know that the philosophy, Herb Street said it on the broadcast, was we want to stop Derrick Henry and let Lamar beat us, which typically he hadn't in the past. But doesn't it make more sense to go right after Lamar and allow the rest of your defensive linemen and Patrick Queen to go after Derrick Henry?
Yeah, I mean, whatever they did, they did wrong. I was more of the belief that even without Zay Flowers, that he could do damage down the field. Yeah. He has been one of the more accurate passers in the NFL this year, which is why a lot of people believe he's still going to win another MVP versus Josh Allen. And I don't know if I agree with that totally, but
I don't.
I thought Josh Allen is such a heavy part of what they do in Buffalo. And that's going to be an interesting matchup, by the way. It'll be 6:30 on KDK and CBS on Sunday. I know you don't agree with me here, but I think Baltimore is a team that can win it all. I think they have every – and their defense has been much better in the last several games, to the point where they've risen, you know, top five in just about every category. Can they win in Buffalo? A lot of pressure on Buffalo in that game, in my view.
Well, I think they can win the Super Bowl. I don't think they will, and I think it's because who's standing in front of them. Buffalo, to me, is just on a collision course, and it finally, I think, is going to happen this year. With how Josh Allen has played, he is the MVP of the league. Lamar's had an incredible season, but Josh Allen has done more with less, kind of the opposite of what Vincent was saying on the call.
Yeah, I don't know about that either on offense. I like their offense.
Their offense is good, but they don't have Derrick Henry at running back. I mean, if you do a tail of the tape, I like the tight ends.
James Cook is really good, and he's been really good for the last 7-8 games at the end of the year. He's gotten better as the year's gone on.
Baltimore's running backs are better. You can't compare Derrick Henry to James Cook.
Derrick Henry's next to Saquon Barkley, the best in the game.
Their tight ends are better in Baltimore. Mark Andrews is better than Kincaid. I like Kincaid, and Likely's better than Dawson Knox. It's close.
It's close.
I think they're
those
better.
Both very. That's another thing that concerned me about this game with the Steelers. Knowing that Zay Flowers wasn't there, you knew that they were going to go to their tight ends. They always do.
Now,
and it was Mark Andrews coming up with big plays, and so was Likely.
Buffalo is deeper at wide receiver than Baltimore is, but Zay Flowers is the best wide receiver of any on the two teams.
Agreed.
And the offensive line in Baltimore is better. So Josh Allen has done more with less, and they also have a better record than Baltimore does.
Yeah,
Lamar
but head-to-head, The head-to-head, 35-10, Baltimore beat Buffalo, and Lamar Jackson had a lot to do with that.
Yeah, but we're talking about the full course of a 17-game season.
And I'm talking about head-to-head.
I think going to Buffalo for Baltimore is going to be a challenge. Home field advantage in the playoff matters. Why have all these number one seeds gone on to the Super Bowl over the last 5 years? Consistently, more so than any other year. It matters. That's also the quality of the teams. But Buffalo, it'll probably be a field goal game. It's going to be an incredible
it's
game.
It's funny that Kansas City's still there, and they're still waiting, and they're still going to, you know, they have two home games coming up here.
And Houston's going to be a cakewalk for them. It'll be tough in the first half, yeah. But I think second half they'll pull away.
Yeah, I think you'll see them fall behind early and then they come storming back and move on to the AFC Championship game. What else is new? They've been there like five straight years.
And then they'll lose to Buffalo. Maybe Baltimore.
Maybe the Baltimore. I don't know. It's going
to
be interesting.
I don't think they're going to the Super Bowl. Either way, they're not going.
Well, at the top of the hour, we'll go around these games that we saw over the weekend also and talk about them. In the meantime, more calls, 412-928-9370. Who's next?
Let's go to Seth in East Liberty.
Hey, Seth. How are you today?
Hey, Bob. Hey, Limit. Thanks for taking my call. I feel like it's time for a full rebuild. You know, sentimentally, sure, I'd love to keep TJ and Cam and let them retire a Steeler. But if we could package those two with Tomlin and send them somewhere to go win, I'd be happy for them and I'd be happy to start a rebuild. And we've seen firsthand, you know, what sentimentality does in sports when you keep Letang, Crosby, and Malkin, when we probably only should have kept one of them. Interested to hear your thoughts, guys. Thanks again.
Well, I think that's very similar. Good call, Seth, in that they're both, you know, hanging on to people who have been historic to their franchises. But you do that, and if you don't have enough draft equity or you don't draft in the right position, you're stuck where you are, and it doesn't really help your long term. So I've come to the point now where I think that, yeah, I would be very creative with some of these moves, trying to ensure that I could figure out a way to move into a better position quicker than waiting this process out, because this process is going to take – if they just continue to do the same thing, they're going to end up with the same result year in and year out.
And that's why I think quarterback and wide receiver and boosting offensive capital is so critical. Like, invest on offense. Doesn't it seem like every time that you look at the AFC Championship game, look at the teams that are in it right now. Look at the quarterbacks that are in it right now in the AFC. Lamar Jackson, MVP twice. Patrick Mahomes, MVP, two-time Super Bowl winner. Josh Allen is going to win a Super Bowl at some point, you'd think, and could win the MVP this year. And C.J. Stroud, in back-to-back years, has won a playoff game in his first two seasons.
Right.
Like, quarterback play significantly wins. Coach-quarterback combination, and the Steelers have no sense of a quarterback, and that's why I think it would probably be better for them to just have a year where they plateau and they just are the bottom of the standings. I'm not talking about the number one pick, but maybe it is Justin Fields, and if he fails, okay. Trade up and draft a quarterback, or you're already in position to draft a quarterback, because if you don't have one of the upper echelon top 10 guys, maybe top 15 guys, you're not going to be able to win in the playoffs. You're just not. That's the reality of it.
Right. Well, most of these guys are acquired in the top, you know, 10 picks. Most. Some don't. Lamar Jackson was picked number 32.
He was 32.
And that was after the Steelers passed on him. So he was there at the bottom. And there are some other guys who will, you know, be later round picks, second, third, and still do well. But generally speaking, you got to be up there.
Well, I'm glad you brought this up, Bob, because I actually did a little research with that last night, and I'm looking for it, see if I can find where it was that I said this. But in terms of the overall quarterback play, out of all the quarterbacks that are in the playoffs, or at least that were in the playoffs at the very start, Russell Wilson was not a first-round draft pick. Okay. Same thing with Jalen Hurts. He was a second-round draft pick. Out of everyone else that was picked, either they were a first-round pick, like Lamar Jackson, Jordan Love was a later pick. Every other quarterback was taken in the top 12. Every other quarterback, top 12 pick. So
if you don't have it, there's a way to get there. You can also make a trade if you want to do that, but you're going to have to be creative in that. And that's where this offseason will head you. If you think there's somebody out there that can help you and you are hell-bent to get them, then you got to move up. I don't see them doing that. What I see them doing is deciding on one of these two. And to me, it would be Fields, only because of his youth and what I think his ceiling may be. I think we know what Russell Wilson's ceiling is based on his age and what he's done. Great career, no doubt. But can he do this for the next 3 years? And I don't expect him to sign a one-year contract. He's not going to do that. He's going to want three. Are you willing to go 3 years to when he's 40 years old? All due respect, I wouldn't do it.
I would not do it at all. I wouldn't give him another one-year contract.
Let's go one more call before we got to go to break here on 93.7 The Fan. Who's next?
All right, let's go to Jake in Bethel Park.
Jake's in Bethel Park, and now he's on The Fan. What's up, Jake?
Hey, guys. How's it going?
Good, thanks.
So for me, I've been out of Mike Tomlin probably since 2018 when I saw the Jacksonville Jaguars beat this team. Arguably one of the best rosters they've fielded since I've been a Steelers fan. This guy is the king of mediocrity. He's a coattail coach. He lived off of Ben's whole career and did nothing with it. This guy, I mean, you got to ask Steelers fans across the world, right? Since when has the standard for this organization been mediocrity? All we've done is first-round exits, 10-win seasons. That's the ceiling for this team. Mike Tomlin needs to go. That's all I got to say.
Thanks. Well, I think you're echoing a lot of what people have said here. But again, the report from Jerry Dulac is they are not moving on from him. So the reality is they're not. So at this point, then you talk about what happens next because there's no other way to go here.
I do wonder if a franchise like Chicago would want to trade for him. Like, what if you? What if a team came to you and
he
said
he would have to waive his clause, which he might want to do. I don't know. You know, who knows?
And, I mean, Chicago has a guy who could be a franchise quarterback. Caleb Williams, number one pick. A lot of upside if you can get him an offensive coach. What if you traded Tomlin to the Bears for a first-round pick, and the Steelers have done pretty well at ripping off the Bears over the last couple of picks?
That may prevent Chicago from taking the phone call.
Yeah, Chase Claypool. It might be a little bit different with Tomlin. The Jets, maybe they give you a first, they give you a second, they give you 2 seconds, and then you go sign Ben Johnson as your coach, the offensive coordinator with the Lions. I mean, I don't know if it would be realistic that they would pivot to offense after having 3 defensive coaches.
Well, I think they should.
It's something they should do.
With down the road, that's the way you have to go in this league that is catering everything toward offense. That's an interesting dilemma to be in if they're in it. I don't know that they will be in it, though. I've read a lot here about Aaron Rodgers, which I keep shaking my head at that. I don't understand why they would even be interested. A lot of people believe they should be interested. Not me. You?
If it was 3 years ago, Aaron Rodgers coming off an MVP season, but he's not.
No, so that's... So I think the choices are simple. It's Wilson, it's Fields, or you do the same
field
thing back-to-back years. You go out and just totally change the entire room. I don't think they do that. They're going to choose one. The other won't stay here. And then you go from there and you try to figure it out. But I think there's a lot of questions with regard to their future quarterback and how long it's going to take to actually fill that role.
I would kick the tires on Sam Darnold. If Minnesota's not going to bring him back, if they are truly committed to J.J. McCarthy, there's been conflicting reports about it. It's likely that Minnesota will keep Darnold. They'd be dumb not to. But if Darnold hits the open market, the Steelers should at least do some due diligence. Will it be $40 million?
You're convinced that he could be somebody who's going to take it to the next level. I know he's done it in Minnesota, but I've watched a lot of their games, and I've come to the conclusion there that, man, their scheming is terrific.
They've got two elite
receivers, and their offensive line has given them a ton of time. All of that is the perfect storm for a quarterback, and if you're in the NFL, you should be able to have success with that.
There's a great situation for him, but that's why you surround Darnold with two really good wide receivers. You utilize Pat Freiermuth more, and you draft a running back late in the draft to pair with Jalen Warren. I don't think it's impossible if you bring in Darnold that he can succeed. He's got the arm talent.
In 1 year, I don't know what they can.
It's not a 1 year
close
fix.
The gap here in 1 year. I think they have a lot of work to be done, and it has to be year by year. But it would be very interesting to see where they go from here because to me, they're stuck in this situation that doesn't show any signs of getting better. And if you're in that situation every year, you're going to end up with the same results. I don't think there's any surprise there.
Here's a text. Steeler fan from Chicago here. Talk radio in Chicago is about the Bears opening the vault for Tomlin. I think the Dulac report is the Steelers playing poker. I don't know about the last part, but Chicago opening the vault for Tomlin.
Well, people seem to think that would happen in a lot of different places. If that's the case, then it's worth certainly exploring, especially if Mike feels that maybe he's gotten to the point. And he may feel that. Who knows? He doesn't tell you that, but that doesn't mean he doesn't feel that. That maybe this is expiration date. Because 18 years is a long time for any coach to be in any job. It's very rare that it happens. It's a good chance it can happen here just because of what they believe in. But at some point, even the best of them come to the end of that rope.